Welcome to the Drum History Podcast. I'm your host, Bart Vanderzee, and today I am joined by Jeff Mulvihill, who is the brand manager at Mapex Drums. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, Bart. Great to be here. Thrilled to be a part of this today. Very cool.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun one. Mapex is, I mean, in the big picture of drums, it's a relatively young brand that I personally don't know a ton about. I've played them. They're beautiful drums. So I'm excited to hear about the origins of this amazing company.
Right. The brand is 30 years young. We just celebrated the 30th anniversary of Mapex last year in 2019. And we're part of a much bigger story, though, that I'm going to sort of take us back a little bit further than 30 years and talk a little bit about the parent company and the origins. And for that, we go back almost 80 years now. And our parent company entity is called KHS, well known around the industry for a number of reasons. And what I want to sort of share with the listening audience here is that those three letters, KHS, actually stand for something that is pretty cool, and I'd like to make sure everybody understands. The letters KHS stand for three words in Mandarin, and I'm going to mispronounce it like I always do because my Chinese is terrible, but those three words mean or are Kong Shu She.
Okay.
And what that means is contribution to school and society. So that sounds, if you're sitting at home listening to a drum show, that sounds, oh, this guy's getting a little academic and a little philosophical and a little heady all at the same time.
Yeah.
But it's true. It's a company at the with a value that goes right to the core value of the company, wanting to make a meaningful difference to musicians and students in the community. And that's kind of where the roots of the company start. In Taiwan, where this company traces its roots to, they don't have school music like we do in the USA for many years. Quite a few of us grow up through, you know, joining the school band in fourth or fifth or sixth grade and kind of tinkering around with the band, and then maybe by accident we get in a garage band and we start playing drums, and it turns into something meaningful for us long term. They don't have music in the public school system. So KHS started as a network of community music schools. Okay, so it'd be like after school. Maybe some kids go to the YMCA to play basketball or something. Some kids go to a KHS school and play music or have a lesson or something like this. So it started as a network of music schools throughout Taipei City, and I think a little bit further out than that eventually. And it sort of then moved into a little bit of retail as that started to grow. They started to sell sheet music and music stands and small instruments and basic things like this, right? And then it started to grow and grow. And then at the vision of a man named Wu She, started manufacturing in a big way with investment into truly wholly owned manufacturing facilities. And really, the story really blossoms from there, because the manufacturing portion of the strategy started as making things for other people. So it was a musical instrument manufacturing entity making a variety of different products for a variety of other brands, some of them that we know today. So some of them, some of the big brands in the industry today would have been KHS customers, okay? And they made musical items. Some of them came to the USA at that time, a lot of it in other parts of the world. But the business grew and grew and grew. And as the manufacturing business grew, it occurred to Wu and others at KHS that, hey, maybe it's time that we start making our own stuff. So in addition to making items and musical instruments and musical products for others, that's when we see the beginning of the brand Jupiter Band Instruments.
Hmm.
So if anyone out there was in band, or perhaps your brother or sister play a different instrument, like a trumpet or a saxophone or a trombone, maybe the first instrument they rented joining school band was a Jupiter instrument.
Hmm. Wow.
Jupiter Instruments then come to the United States in 1985, where the first facility was in Austin, Texas, for the distribution of those Jupiter Winds and Brass. So as you sort of move through the life cycle of a manufacturing company, they started with the horns, among other things, and it came time to look at, well, how do we grow? And the decision was then made to, let's make our own drums. And that's where we see the beginnings of what is today Mapex Drums.
Wow. That's interesting. Now, can I ask you, so this all started, if my math is correct, you said it's about 80 years ago. So this started in like the, it's 2020 right now. So like in the 40s, is that correct? Like 1930s, 1940s?
Yes. KHS in general, as a whole, yes.
Cool. Wow. That's so, I mean, what a, the longevity of this company is unbelievable.
Right. And so if we see Jupiter, I you know, I sound like I know exactly what I'm talking about with these timelines. It's, and I mostly do, but it's possible that I'm using the year 1985 for Jupiter Band Instruments. That's the year in earnest when we see them in the USA. It's possible that it was a little bit longer than that. But so to this 80 years old discussion, if we're thinking about 1985, you know, it was 40 or 45 years before they started making their own stuff, even, which is, you know, it's pretty cool that you get that under your belt. You get some money in the bank. You make some facilities. You sort of sharpen your manufacturing skills doing this, doing that, before you then have the experience to bring your own thing to market. And in a big way, I mean, Jupiter is not a small amount of school music business. It's a big part of the market share. And so if we're using 1985 as a guide for Jupiter, we use 1989 as a guide for Mapex. That's when we first see Mapex drums in the USA. And Bart, you and I are about the same age. I remember Mapex sort of showing up when I was in eighth or ninth grade. Most of us were fans of a number of other drum companies around at the time, some of them American, some of them from other places. But Mapex starts to show up in 1989. And it's a little bit interesting. They chose Nashville as their point of entry, and it was first a part of the distribution wing of the Gibson company.
Interesting.
So I'm going to tell you a little bit. This is an interesting, you know, the podcast is called Drum History, right? So this touches a little bit of other drum history too. KHS began making Mapex drums at the entry level, or the first product introduced was the Mars series, which was strategically placed to literally be a competitor with the Pearl Export, which at the time just, that was taking the market by storm, right? That whole idea of a full drum set in a couple of boxes for one price. That really changed things for the drum business on the American landscape. And so Mapex followed suit with that strategy, and the Mars series was the first product to come in from the Taiwanese manufacturing wing. But they knew that a fully rounded out drum brand needs a few different products, right? You have to have a high end, a middle end, a low end. To really touch all of the business. And making drums at a very high level for professional level quality was something they just weren't ready to do. So, or weren't ready to do themselves, I should say.
Sure.
So, as the agreement was made with the Gibson Company for distribution and warehousing in the USA, they also started producing some of the first Mapex Maple high-end professional drums out of that facility. And some other names, like Sam Bacco was in charge of the manufacturing. He and another couple of gentlemen put the program together for the Gibson Company, and were making the pro-level product right here in Nashville. And it was actually, you know, a pretty serious product. They made, they got the hardware and some of the appointments from KHS in Asia, and then they were building the shells and cutting the edges and doing the lacquering. That experiment lasted for a few short years, and in those early days, there were a pretty serious, impressive number of endorsers, really. Billy Cobham was on Mapex in the beginning. Terry Bozzio was on Mapex in the beginning, and Mike Portnoy was another one. And the thing was, you know, with those three guys, if you're a drummer at all, you know that they all play monster drum kits, right?
Yeah.
So those guys took a lot of support, and deservedly so. They're artists and extremely well-regarded drummers at a very high level, and it was a, you know, a big chunk to bite off at the very beginning. So as those guys in the Gibson shop were bringing that professional level product to market, supporting artists like those guys I just mentioned, you know, it was a lot to take on, and maybe a little bit too much, perhaps. I wasn't there, so I don't know. But as that was sort of moving ahead in a reasonable fashion, they were developing their high-level product in Asia, which then, once was ready, became the Mapex Orion series, which I think a lot of your listeners will have heard of. That was the the legendary Mapex Maple series in the high end. And so the arrangement with Gibson and Sam and those guys in the shop only lasted, I want to say, it was only 4 or 5 years there, from between, like, maybe even less. It may have been only 3 or 4 years between 1989 or so and 1992 or three, depending on the overlap. And then, you know, Mapex opened their own facility in the Nashville area and started doing the whole brand hardware, pedals, snare drums, you know, a variety of drum kits priced in a variety of price points, in their own right. And then, sort of, as Gibson found themselves without a drum brand, enter that Gibson era of Slingerland.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so they went out and found, or made a partnership, or had an opportunity to do that very same sort of model with the Slingerland brand, with Sam and those guys as the guys in the shop making those. And they had a very successful run in the beginning with those products. So that's kind of where it starts from Mapex. And once our own facility was up and running in Nashville, the rest of the history is fairly well documented now. On through the rest of the 90s and 2000s, the facility, which I say Nashville area, it was in Laverne, Tennessee. That facility and the aforementioned Jupiter facility in Austin, Texas, sort of both fast forward to the year 2009 or 2008, perhaps 8 or 9, where all of those companies came to the Nashville area in a new building in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, where we're proudly housed today with office and warehouse, doing all of our products here in the USA, all the KHS brands represented in our one large distribution and marketing facility. And so I've told you a little bit about the beginning. As as those years progressed, you know, enter Mapex drums. We also see the introduction of Hercules microphone stands. We've got ukuleles. We've got a number of other products and a number of other spaces under the KHS umbrella.
Yeah, they do a ton. I mean, you guys, I should say, have a ton of brands. I mean, it's so cool, but you don't get the feeling that like, you don't get the feeling that it's just a ton of, like they're just slapping logos on things and just churning stuff out. Like it seems like every division is very like professional. I mean, it's not like it's, you know, just get it out. Now we do drums. Now we do this. Like you can tell, I love how they came through Gibson and just started that process. Cause it's like, why waste time? You know, start building the drums, get the name out there more, kick it off with big players, like you said. Like, and I remember seeing Mike Portnoy playing, playing Mapex. And I always mention on the show, those endorsers are really how, you know, a young kid in the 90s, that's how they see it. And they go, oh my God, I need to get, you know, I need to play Mapex. Very, very cool story so far.
Well, thanks for the compliment. We like to think everything's well thought out. We like to think everything is at a professional level. We work, we work really hard for that. And I appreciate the props there. It's a, it's sometimes, you know, it's funny. If you have one brand that does all of your products, that presents a little bit of a challenge. If you have multiple brands that you need to market and present all of your products, that's another set of challenges. And I think those different parent company setups are interesting to watch from an industry standpoint. I'm not sure that there's a perfect way to do it, but we've got this model here where it has come and gone. At one time, we were 22 brands or something. Now it's been pared back a little bit for one reason or another over the years. I joined the company in 2012, and it seems like it's been nothing but progress since then, as I sort of will pat myself on the back behind my microphone here.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, I mean, it just keeps getting better. Now, pretty obvious question, but what does Mapex mean? Like, what is Mapex? Does that stand for something?
Ah, that is a little bit of a legend. There's a couple of different interpretations. It's not something that we use. It's not an acronym for anything today that we use. We simply use the word as the brand for the drums these days. But it did trace its origins back to that beginning time as they were bringing drums to the market. There was maybe a very short time when drums were made with Jupiter badges. Mm-hmm. So it starts there, and then they sort of knew, or perhaps figured out quickly, that that wasn't exactly going to work very well. So the word Mapex, M-A-P-E-X, traces back to an acronym that starts with Made in America Percussion Experiment.
Wow.
Or it's been said that it perhaps, because the first pro level products were maple shells, Maple American Percussion Experiment. Hmm. And for the company, producing their own drums for the first time, they thought of it as, hey, let's try this. And so it was labeled as an experiment, and it was labeled as something to do in the USA, being the biggest market on earth for drums and drum sets. And that's where it kind of comes from, probably on someone's product planning memo desk at a factory someplace.
Yeah. Yeah, really. You know, it's interesting too, because I Googled it, right? Like kind of real quick earlier, and I forgot it actually, and there's another definition on Wikipedia, which you're the guy. So this is probably not true, but it also said music and percussion excellence, like EX is excellence. Is that not on there?
You know what? That might very well be part of it as well. I'm not sure anyone that I've talked to can tell me the exact thing. I've heard those three examples over the years.
That's funny. That music and percussion excellence kind of reminds me of contribution to school and society. Like these just very like
sure.
descriptive titles, which I would imagine that's more in the Chinese culture versus American stuff, where you wouldn't have it be exactly like that kind of like that using those descriptive words. But very cool. I mean, I think I told you on the when we kind of talked on the pre-interview, I had at one point, I believe it was a what is the lower, help me out with the models here, what is the lower end model that's the beginner? I think it was there's a Venus kit, isn't there?
There was at one time, yes. Venus would have been one of the entry level products, sure. Yeah.
So I had a Venus kit that I picked up. I had a period there where I was kind of buying and selling, and I had a bunch of drum students, and I'd buy them and I'd say, hey, this is a good kit, and they would trust me and I would sell it to them. And I played them for a little bit and they were wonderful drums, but I actually traded them for a mini bike that I got because I had like a music space where I would just go and ride it. And then I realized a grown man shouldn't be riding a mini bike. so I sold the mini bike, but that was my brief Mapex experience. Well,
you need to post some pictures of that.
I know. I have one. There's one video on my personal Instagram. It was a little Coleman mini bike. But even on that lower, I don't say lower end, on that beginner Mapex kit, the hardware was great. I mean, stuff was like, it felt very solid. And that had to be just from the look and the sizes. I think it was like a kind of a 90s kit, maybe early 2000s. But even that had really high quality.
Yeah, I think that's been a part of what the success story is here. Mapex has always been known for quality at a very attractive price. And that was the strategy from the very beginning. I think there were some good minds at work. If you're a factory owner, if you have your own factory, the strategy is got to be keep your factory working and keep your factory producing, right? Mm-hmm. So moving units and producing good, reliable volume is what makes you profitable at the factory level. There are many around in the industry here, a ton of brands that don't truly own their own manufacturing. They outsource to others and have different sources do different parts of whether it be metal goods or wood shells or finishing. There are any number of processes and other outsource entities that do part or some of that work for big brands. That presents its own other sort of set of challenges, right? Because if you've got a great shell source and a great chrome source, and then your paint guy goes out of business, you've got to work to find somebody who can paint your drums, or vice versa. If your metal goods supplier goes out, or if they're full this month, or, you know, we're talking about Chinese and Asian manufacturing in general. If you've got a metal plating facility that just got, you know, they just won a contract for Toyota or something, maybe your boom stands aren't going to make it this month. That's a very true deal where some of those facilities produce scooter parts and electronics and car industry parts of the business. So if you're not, if you're outsourced like that, you just got to play that game all the time.
Now, can I ask you a little bit about, like, I'm curious about, okay, so we were just talking about the manufacturing in China and stuff, obviously. Are there a lot of brands, what would my question be? So Mapex is a drum brand that is, you know, it is a Chinese brand that is like, they're their own company. Now, you said earlier, like you said, there's a lot of manufacturing where there will be drum brands that are like Premier, or a brand that's, you know, it's a British drum company, but everything's really made in China. Are there a lot of other brands that are Chinese drum brands that are sold in America? Is there anyone else? I can't think of other brands that are, like, I know of a lot of Japanese drum companies, obviously, but does that make sense?
Like, it does. There's of Chinese origin. No, there are not a great deal. Japanese, yes. And of course, we know all of the famous American brands. And of course, Premier, you mentioned, is a historic British brand. Chinese, there are not very many in the States. There is more Chinese manufacturing in China that produces products that we don't ever see here under different brands that don't really make it outside of Asia. But I would, I'm, you put me on the spot and I hadn't really thought of that in a long time. And I'm going to make sure I check my own facts here, but I think I can confidently say that Mapex would be the leading Taiwanese / Chinese brand, wholly owned and manufactured. Does that put enough of a frame around it?
Yes, it does. And I should have said Taiwanese as opposed to Chinese. But I'm interested in that whole, and this is not even a question as much of a thought for maybe a few future episode, but of like in America, there's the whole like, there's so many people, like there's so many boutique drum brands who are really cool. I wonder in like the Far East market, if there's like, or in, you know, other, I mean, Europe is different. I know that's there, but like of people, of those mom and pop, like small drum shops making shells and creating their own stuff, obviously just for the Taiwanese, Chinese, that market. But it's interesting to think of that in different countries. If there's a boutique world there.
I don't know, but my first instinct is I don't think that many, if many at all.
Gotcha.
And I don't know why I say that. I've been to Asia a few times in a few different places, and I just don't think the market is the same.
Yeah.
Even with the same level of musicianship and or music fandom that we see in the Western world. I think there's a great interest in learning to play music. I don't think the economic extra spending cash exists for a great deal of the population to be able to afford a custom design boutique type of product now.
Yeah,
interesting. Somebody out there is going to listen and say, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And I'm, you're right, I don't. I'm a little bit guessing here, but that's my experience and my sort of take on it to that question. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and I'm like just throwing something completely random at you, just a thought. But this episode is brought to you by Forks Drum Closet, Nashville's full-line drum store. Celebrating its 40th year in business, Forks is independently owned and operated in the heart of Music City. Specializing in drums and percussion, Forks offers great discounts on all major brands and will beat any retailer's advertised price. From new and used equipment, vintage drums, and marching and orchestral instruments, Forks has something for every drummer. They also offer professional rental, repair and restoration services, as well as drum lessons. Stop by their storefront at 308 Chestnut Street, Nashville, Tennessee. Call 615-383-8343 or go online at ForksDrumCloset.com. Okay, now, and I mentioned this to you on the phone before. I also think of Mapex as like Klaus Hessler. There's a lot of these really high level, I don't want to call them like mega drummers. You could say like a drummer who's known for being a drummer, as opposed to a drummer who is a guy who plays in a band who's a really great drummer, but he's known for being the drummer in that band. You get a lot of Mapex has a lot of clinician, soloist, independent drummers on your roster, where I made the comparison in my mind of like Ibanez guitars. I think of like Steve Vai. I think of these guys who are shredders who really like that guitar. And yeah, you guys have a great roster of just like independent guys who they play in bands, obviously, but really amazing drummers play Mapex.
Right. And we're proud of our guys. We're proud of our artist relations effort. The roster is a strong one. Klaus Hessler, the great German, he's got hands from heaven and feet to go along with it. He's a phenomenal artist. Achilles Priester is a monster drummer. Guys like Dom Famularo's been on Mapex for a long time. I don't think I need to go into what his reach is around the world. Yeah. He's loved and well respected among the drummers and drum community worldwide. Guys like Russ Miller, who's a, you know, needs very little introduction from me. His studio credits and educational and artist credits go a long way. I'm thrilled that recently, I say recently in the drum world is within the last couple of years, right? Jeff Hamilton is a Mapex drummer. There's a lot of, as you sort of said, drummers who are known as drummer/drummer artists, right? We do have guys like Rashid Williams, who's known for touring with John Legend, Tyler Ritter in Moon Taxi, guys who are known for playing for artists or playing in bands. And that is a valuable part of drum marketing and a valuable part of our artist roster. But the drummer artist is an interesting, and it, you just got to have them to be strongly represented.
Yeah. It's the magazine readers. It's the people who are watching out for those guys. Your independent drummers are the people who are buying drums. Not to say that everyone else isn't buying drums, but that's your audience. So it's a, and you know, they're choosing you. I would imagine you're not going out and trying to, like, you know, I mean, these people clearly like the quality. Most drummers don't play stuff they don't like just for, you know, gear, which, well, a lot of people, I guess some people do that, but I don't think that's the case with you guys. These guys really love the drums.
Yeah. And you know, we try to be a good tight crew of pals, and you know, we try to be drummer buddies to the guys that are on the roster here. It's more than just the gear. It is a lot about the gear, but it's not all about the gear. It's about sharing in each other's success, leaning on each other when we need each other, you know? And especially, I got to give a shout out to the Mapex artist roster during this period of COVID-19 quarantine and beyond. You know, we've sort of come together and tried to figure out ways to lift each other up. You know, some of our, I don't think there's anybody touring right now.
No.
And, you know, recording is hit or miss depending on where you are and what's possible. So trying to share opportunities and talk about ideas together as a between brand and artist has been something that has been really neat lately. And I
totally,
it's tough to talk about it for me because so many of my colleagues in other drum brands are struggling right now. There's a lot of furlough. There's a lot of just downturn in the market that's affecting the MI community. And I'm thankful to our leadership at KHS America for keeping us mostly intact throughout this struggling period. You know, we've had a little bit of a very little bit of downsizing and a very little bit of furlough time, but for the most part, through all of it, we've been able to stay active, stay in business, communicating with the retail community on how we can do things different or better, or in a pivotal way to meet the different demands of who's open and who's not, and who can only do curbside and who can only do online and who can, you know, it's a shifting thing where the pendulum is swinging a bunch of different ways very quickly. It's just a weird period of time that we find ourselves in.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not just the drum industry. It's not just the music industry. It's just so many different things. But I think it's great that you guys are remaining for the most part intact. Now backing up a little bit. So we were in the 90s, we were in the 2000s. I understand it kind of just continued as normal, but I think people really like to hear about when, like, the different lines came out and about the different, you know, drums you guys offer. So through the 90s, then into the 2000s, what were some pivotal pieces of gear and lines of drums that came out, going up through, you know, modern days?
Well, one of the cornerstones that came out of the early days is the Mapex Saturn series. I mentioned earlier, and you did too, we had Mars and Venus kind of in the low end. The Saturn was has always kind of sat at the middle or upper middle. And then in the early days, we had Orion as the flagship professional level branded gear once mm-hmm. Mapex was fully outfitted in the USA. And, you know, the Orion series didn't last the long test of time. It was not a high-end product that stood through the trending changes. It, you know, it had die-cast hoops, it had thick maple shells. It was really in vogue in the 90s. It was that 90s thing.
Sure.
Saturn is something altogether different, though. It has been brought to market in several different iterations, several different monikers, whether it be Saturn 4, Saturn 5, Saturn 3. And what's come out of that is sort of what we kind of consider the basis of the Mapex DNA these days, and that is blended shell technology, where we take different plies of wood and combine them for a specific sound. So Saturn has always been a blend of either birch and walnut or maple and walnut in different iterations over the years. And as we've sort of come through the 2000s, we see Saturn a few different ways through the first 10 years. And then in 2014, I think, is the pivotal year where we actually see Saturn 5 settling into maple walnut blended shells as the main cornerstone, with an outer exotic veneer and some very stunning lacquer finishes. Saturn 5 has been a real hit if you look at the Saturn timeline. And that was a very successful run, say, between 2014 and present day, which gives me the opportunity to say that we've sort of split now for 2020. Well, 2020 and 2021, we've split Saturn into two different categories now. We've sort of dispensed with the Roman numeral moniker. We laugh to ourselves sometimes. Once we reached Saturn 5, it started to feel a little bit like a Rocky movie or like a Toto record.
Yeah, they just keep going up. How high can you go?
Right.
An iPhone, it's like they got to stop at some point.
Right. So in 2020, we see Saturn. It's basically just called Saturn. It is the maple and walnut blended shell stays with some simple lacquer finishes at a very a pro level product at a very approachable price. And then we see coming in 2021 in the USA what we're calling Saturn Evolution. Saturn Evolution takes the whole thing up a couple of notches with nine different configurations, nine different finishes, a whole new mounting system, and the opportunity to choose between the legendary birch walnut blended shell or maple walnut blended shell to sort of create your own preferred drum set recipe. Okay, so
awesome.
The tricky part of that on the business end is that you are offering all of the same finishes and configurations in a couple of different shell types. So the mathematics gets a little bit strewn out there when you're talking about levels of inventory. But we believe, we believe that we're a herd, a unique species who need choices, don't we, Bart? We want
we do.
We want sizes and sounds and materials, and that's kind of the. I joke a lot with colleagues and say, you know, there are Murphy's laws of the drum business, right? Where you're having a conversation with somebody and they're like, "Man, that sounds awesome and it looks great, but do you have it in a 20?"
Exactly. Or do you have it in maple mahogany blend?
That's right.
It's like, oh God.
Yeah. So all of those drummer conversations sort of come together with this philosophy behind Saturn Evolution, where it might be nice to have a drum set where you've got a maple walnut kick drum or outfitted with birch walnut toms. It might be nice to have a full maple kit for one thing, a birch walnut kit for another, and it looks the same. Different sizes in the same finishes, different shell types in the same finishes. You can kind of build your own dream / monster, however you see fit. It's really a drummer's nightmare and daydream come true.
Exactly. So many options. Can you explain maybe so when people get to the, you know, if they're looking at getting a Saturn kit, the sonic difference between the maple walnut and the birch walnut, like how are they different?
Sure. The answer to that is not altogether different from what we understand those materials do, right? I think everyone can agree that birch is a nice, clean and clear, sort of pre-EQ'd kind of material. Maple is a nice, warm and mid-tone heavy tone wood. Enter the walnut with each one of those and it brings the darkness. Okay. You add that little bit of darker tone wood. Walnut is well known, like mahogany or other very warm, rich tone woods, where if it's 100% walnut kit, it really, to most of our ears, it gives you even too much of that good stuff, if you can think of that.
Yeah.
It can sound very low, tubby, thuddy, look, if that's your thing, if that's what you're looking for, that's fantastic. Sometimes that's necessary. I'm not sure that's going to be necessary for most general playing. Let's just keep it safe before all the naysayers start commenting on both of our Facebook pages that we don't know what we're talking about. But if you have 100% birch kit and 100% maple kit, those are two different world standard in the drum business. What we've done is sort of taken those two standards, added the walnut to both in typical Mapex blended shell fashion, and that way it gives you a little bit of that dark, warm, rich tone complementing your favorite main character. So if you're a birch, if you're a birch person, you know, that's your deal for maybe you like it the way it sounds on records or something like this, you've got a little bit of a warm, rich character along with your favorite birch style. If you're a maple guy or girl, add in a little bit of walnut and you've got a richer, rounder maple experience. It's that hybrid philosophy behind what we're doing here.
Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense. Kind of the best of both worlds without having too much of one thing, which as we know, you can, and you know, you pay a lot of money for a drum set. It's nice to have a little bit of it dialed in to be not too much birch, not too much maple, not too much walnut. So, man, that's really cool. It sounds like you guys are, it's a very innovative company. How does it work? Now, you and your job. So, this is a Mapex episode, but you're also the brand manager with Sonar as well. And KHS, Sonar is a KHS company. Do you guys, like, how does it work with a company that owns multiple drum companies for like divvying up ideas? I mean, you guys, it seems like you're all completely separate, if that makes sense. Do they share any like, hey, this hardware is really cool. It could be good on Sonar. It could be good with, you know, maybe this could work over here. Does any of that happen? Or are you guys completely like autonomous, separate entities?
Well, the short answer is it's all separate. It all is divided pretty clearly, and for good reason. I think both brands occupy their own place in the drumming world. There are different histories. There are different manufacturing details. There are different specs. There are different materials. They're both awesome, but they both sort of hold their own, okay, to sort of answer your question. Now, to reel that back just a little bit, some of the metal goods and some of the basic hardware pieces and things like this are made in the same facilities.
Yeah.
And some of the high volume entry level products, there aren't many for Sonar in the entry level. I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. There will be in 2021. So some of that is shared, but each have their own identity, their own DNA, their own vision for where the brands are going. So I'm lucky enough to be a part of each one of them right now, and I'm thrilled for that. But I want to sort of stick with Mapex for a second.
Sure, of course. And yeah, Mapex episode.
Sort of staying with your question on our innovation, or we sound like we're innovators, and I think that's right. We look to the future. We're looking for nothing but what can improve and enhance what drummers are looking for today, trying to stay ahead of that curve as much as we can. And some of that hybrid shell technology has been with us for a little bit, and we take it a step further from even Saturn. And we sort of started this line of conversation about the lines of the brand and the series. And so we've sort of explained the Saturn cornerstone. Above Saturn in the lineup is our Black Panther Design Lab series, yeah, where we've taken some of that, let's call it, I don't want to say basic, that's the wrong word. I want to say more straight ahead drum innovation, mm-hmm, that we see with Saturn and Orion, and sort of even taken it up a couple of notches and pushed it over the cliff in some ways with Black Panther Design Lab, where we see blended shells of maple and mahogany. We see different bearing edges on the tops of shells from the bottom, where you really start to dial in each side of the drum. We see innovations like the articulating floor tom leg, where you can actually EQ the resonance of your floor tom without mutes or muffles or, wow, or tape.
Yeah.
And some of the finishes are just absolutely stunning in the Design Lab series. And it sort of breaks into two, where we've got the main flagship Versatis series drum set and the Cherry Bomb drum set. So the two offerings in the Design Lab right now, where the Versatis features the blended shell of maple and mahogany. The Cherry Bomb is just a fantastic old school round rich 70s rock kind of thing, where it's 100% cherry shell with partially rounded edges, and our flagship Sonic Saver hoops that kind of are a throwback to the Slingerland Stick Savers.
Sure, yeah.
And that's been sort of a next level progress for the brand, right? So we're talking about, it started with pretty basic, high end, middle end, low end, and it sort of progressed from there to be outfitted from Design Lab down through Saturn. We've got the mid-level Armory series, which we see, we're talking about Best of Both Worlds a minute ago. The Armory series features blended shells of birch and maple. So you really get the best at a sort of mid-level product. And then we've got the current Mars series below that. And then we see our Storm series and the Mapex Rebel at the very entry level of the market.
Sure. So it's been, you got to have the entry level.
Right. And it's sort of come from sort of three levels now to a comfortable, whatever I just mentioned, seven or six. There are companies that have more. There are companies that have less. This mix right now feels pretty good for us. Brand-wise, you know?
Especially with the combinations that you can do, and you have the Black Panther Design Lab, you can do all that. But I think it's a very appropriate amount of... There's nothing wrong with having a ton more or a ton less, but some brands can have almost too many, where you go, is this the Model X or the Model J or the Model B, it's like it just gets a little bit confusing. So I think it's nice that it's clear, and I really like the kind of the, what's the right word I'm looking for, like the planetary themes. I think that's really cool.
Sure,
makes it clear.
Yeah, and that's I can't tell you how that started, but you know, if you go all the way back to where we started earlier in the conversation, the first products they started making were called Jupiter band instruments. Exactly. The stands and accessories are Hercules. So it's got all of this sort of mythological thematic material to it that, it's really awesome. A neat way to organize it in my opinion. I think it's kind of cool. And,
yeah, it is. And the Black Panther logo, that's just the Black Panther, the sets are beautiful. The snares you see very, very common. Just one of those like very, it seems like it's one of those snares that is like when people have like a, you know, a snare shelf or whatever, there's typically a Black Panther in there. Just kind of as a go-to beautiful, you know, staple snare of a lot of people's collections.
Yeah. The Black Panther line has been, another cornerstone, I would say. If Saturn is a cornerstone, then Black Panther is the other corner, or Black Panther snare drums for sure. There's been an awful lot of different iterations, and it's gotten a shot in the arm this year. We introduced 14 new Black Panther models here in 2020, including some very, very exciting metal shells that we haven't seen before in the line. We bring aluminum back, we bring stainless steel back. And it's time. We've lived with our current, I'd say now former Black Panther lineup for 9 or 10 years, and it was time to really give it something special. And this new, I'm trying to be witty and make a funny joke about this new herd of Black Panthers, or this new, new pack of Panthers, or whatever this is. It's some of the best snare drums that, that Mapex has ever put on the market for sure.
Oh, that's great. I think I just love it that as we're recording this, it's obviously the world's kind of messed up. It's the COVID stuff, but there's a lot to look forward to as far as new Mapex drums and the Saturn series and the Black Panther stuff. So that's great that it's just continues to move forward. And I love how it's like a drum company's been around for 30 years, and we're still calling it relatively young just because that's how our instrument is. It's like you almost have to be around for, you know, 80, 90 years, which I know KHS has been around for 80 years, but I think you guys are, obviously there's a long way to go, because 30 years is like a blink of an eye in the big picture.
No, it's true. We talk about things like brand equity and brand awareness and some of those sort of marketing concepts, but it just boils right back down to a musical instrument is personal. You know, it's if you truly love the music you're making, even if you sort of only like the music you're making, if you're just a once in a while hobbyist, chances are there's a reason or a emotional connection to whatever instrument you're choosing. And then whatever brand of that instrument that you're choosing, I like this because of this connection. I like this because of is sound thing, or I saw it with my favorite band, or I saw it with my favorite drummer, or the teacher that I learned from was a big part of my music making, and that's what they recommended, so it fit my whole thing. Like, there's some sort of emotional connection to musicians and their instruments that's pretty important to what we do.
Absolutely. It's way more than I don't want to call it superficial, but it's way more than like you know, a 10-year-old's not going, oh man, I love the tonal qualities of that maple walnut blend. They're more like,
no,
oh,
that's
I saw
right.
Really cool. I saw a great drummer on YouTube playing these drums. It's amazing. Great. I saw, you know, my favorite drummer used it. My teacher, like you said, all that is so true.
Mm-hmm.
So as we get close to the end here, I mean, I think most people know where to find Mapex. I mean, they're everywhere. Like, you can go to your local music shop. Is there any tips you want to, I mean, Anything you want to say? Where can people find you? Like social media, all that good stuff.
Well, we're in all of the places where people are. We're online everywhere. We like you said, we support our national chain music retailers, our independent music retailers, international music retailers. We're in Canada. Sure. We're in all over Europe, South America. Mapex is huge in Mexico. It's fun to watch. We can be found, of course, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Our MapexDrums.com website has a wealth of current content information. The 14 Black Panther snare drums that I just mentioned, I'll plug this real quick. If you want to hear them, there are video and sound files for each model on the webpage now in a couple of different formats where, hey, if you just want to shop through or quickly click through and get a 10 to 12 second version of what each model sounds like, we've done that, all the way up to a fully produced musical selection. So you can sort of take a deep dive on the one you like. You can get a quick bite for 10 or 12 of them and kind of then deep, you know, dive deeper into the ones that, that are for you. We've sort of, thanks to, it's one of the projects that, Russ Miller has done for us in his studio where, you know, you can hear the ghost note, you can hear the cross stick, you hear the rim shot, you hear a backbeat, you hear a roll, you hear everything that the drum is supposed to do. And, yeah, really. And you can really get a sense of, well, okay, now I can really tell which metal models or wood models or the depths or the diameters, what they are doing to the sound. It's kind of a cool destination.
Yeah. And you have to do that nowadays. I mean, you can't physically go, even if you go to a store, I mean, it's pretty rare for a store to have every single model of every company's snares. So you really need that. And that's, again, that's the power of growing up as a kid where, you know, the internet was, you know, I guess relatively new. It was like, oh my God, I can go and hear this and that. And I remember the first time I ever saw that where you could hear the set online, and it was actually a set of Pork Pies, and it was on Indoor Storm, which was a music website.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, you'd click it and you'd hear this set. And that just always sticks into my mind as like that thing. So yeah, I encourage people to go to the Mapex website and check that out. And Russ Miller is amazing, so that's going to be obviously a very good representation of what they sound like.
Yeah, and it's we talked earlier about choices and how crazy it can get for us drummers. I think I talk to a lot of drummers who are either my age or a little bit older, and they're like, man, when I was a kid, it was just, well, I just need a snare drum. Yeah. Okay. And then most of them just one. But now it's amazing how that tonal palette can really change the tune, change the character of the tune, change the part of the tune. Yes. And you've got basically your creativity is your own limit at this point. It's it's all there for you, and it's really exciting.
That's great. It is really exciting, and I think the future is going to be the future is very bright for Mapex. Obviously, it's been a great journey so far. So, Jeff, I think this has been great, man. I've learned a ton. It's just it's a fascinating company. Going back to the KHS and the schools and the programs, mm-hmm. It's just really cool that it evolved into what it is today. So, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Mulvihill, I want to thank you for being on the show, Jeff, and I look forward to trying out some of the Mapex snares and hearing them on the website and all that cool stuff.
Well, thanks a million, Bart. I appreciate it. This was a blast.
If you like this podcast, find me on social media at Drum History, and please share, rate, and leave a review. And let me know topics that you would like to learn about in the future. Until next time, keep on learning. This is a Gwyn Sound podcast.